our last name and then missions. And let's, yeah, that's us right there. We all look about the same. So that's a good thing, right? Again, I was born and raised in Switzerland. That's why I have a little accent there. And my wife is grew up in Houston. And we met at Rhema Bible College in Oklahoma. Right? So you never know what can happen in Oklahoma.
Amen.
So, yeah. But here's what we do. Our mission, you know, for our ministry is to equip others for their calling and their ministry. We've been in pastoral ministry for almost about 17 years as assistant pastors, and then we also planted and pastored a church for 7 years. And then 3 years ago, we gave that church over to another pastor, and since then, we've been full-time with Wise Mission. So, but that's kind of the what we do. We equip others so they can go places where we can't go, start churches, do crusades, whatever God has put on their hearts. Next slide. That's me preaching with an interpreter in Ethiopia. I've been there several times. This was actually a pastor's conference. So just to show you that when you support us, whether it's prayers and finances, every time you give, every time you pray, I mean, we're not just touching these pastors' lives, we're touching their whole churches in a sense. And the people of that church, whatever they've been called to do. So most places that we go, probably 80%, you'll have a translator. I mean, I know English and a couple of my mother languages. So, but yeah, next slide, please. These are some precious people after a service in northern India. You know, God has, I would have never thought that, but between my wife and I, we've been to 30 countries so far to preach the gospel. So, on 5 different continents. So, all over the place, and wherever you meet other believers, again, it's family, right?
That's right.
It's like that song, "We Are Family," right?
That's right.
It really goes like that, right?
Yeah.
So, wonderful people. And next slide. That's in a Bible school in Switzerland, where I'm from, just outside of Zurich. Again, different settings, different flavors, different people, but, you know, again, we're all one in Christ.
Amen.
And God loves everyone, and it's just amazing what God is doing. Next slide. That's a Bible school. That's actually a Rhema Bible school in Bogota, Colombia, South America. They always run about 300 students, and half of them are pastors. So again, imagine you have people in there. They're being equipped for their calling. They're again touching lives and also just touching whole churches. And it's amazing. And again, usually when we go to a place, and I'm about to leave in a couple of weeks for Nigeria for the first time. So I'll be gone about 2 weeks. So when I go into a place, here's what usually happens. During the week, I instruct in Bible schools. A lot of them are Ramas, 3 to 6 hours a day. Love doing it. Just equip. And then also speak in churches. A lot of times, some of the students or graduates have churches. So it's really neat to go into their churches and see what God is doing. So there could be Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, or Saturday mornings, leadership training, whatever. So just as much as possible. I always tell our contacts, hey, you know, use us as much as you can because we're here. We want to make the most of our time. So great place right there. And the next one, that's years ago, again in Ethiopia. The great students, just some of the students there.
Next. See if you can find Antoine.
Yes, go back real quick if you can. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah, that's me. Right there.
Should we stand out? Huh?
Just so you know. Yeah, but I mean, tell you, they love you. I mean, they're so nice.
Amen.
I mean, really. But because there's something about it, when you minister out of God's love, they can sense that.
That's right.
Maybe I don't understand their language. Maybe I don't understand how they maybe think or do certain things. But, you know, they're nice.
Obviously, I saw the resemblance. That's why
Yeah, okay.
I saw the resemblance. Family.
Yes, we're family. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. That's right, in central India. We were just there in November. It was our 4th time there. Again, another Bible school. India has, I think, 29 states, and there's 19 represented in that student body. So, you know, they come from all over India, plus a couple of countries like, I think, Bhutan, and what else did they have? Bangladesh, I think, and a lady from Singapore. So really amazing how many people we get to touch. Mm. Interpreter again, right? Here's the vision of our ministry. We see people coming to an ever-growing relationship with Christ, right? First of all, we need a relationship with Christ. Be born again, right? Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Here's the second one. We see lay people, pastors, and future ministers equipped. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Whatever we can do, equip them so they can go places we can't go. And certainly the third one as well. That's kind of the icing on the cake. We see nations impacted by the healing power of God. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's opportunity in a church or when we go and do things, lay hands on people or pray for people.
Amen.
Which we'll see in the next picture there in Ethiopia, just as a... You know, just praying for people.
Hallelujah.
That case, I was wearing a shirt they gave me, a really nice hand-stitched Ethiopian shirt, but just touching people. Next slide, a little girl, I think that's in Bolivia, South America, just praying for people. And then one more, here's a beautiful lady from a really small town way up in the mountains of Bolivia. The town was, it's called Oruro, real way up there, high altitude. Wow. I was preaching on healing in that service. This was a Sunday morning, little church up in the mountains. And she came to us to see us after the service. Mm-hmm. She was all excited. Here's, you know, this little lady and just jumping. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. She was so happy. So we asked her, what's going on? What happened? And she said that during my message, because I was just talking, sharing scriptures about healing and how Jesus healed and how Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. She heard the word. Cool. And she said that she, all her life, could only hear with one ear. So she heard the message, and about halfway through, two-thirds through, she said the ear that she could never hear popped.
Right.
And she could hear with both ears. No wonder she came. So praise God. That's the icing on the cake right there. Yeah, and I think, that's now my wife's turn. I'll just let her share a couple more things. As she comes, this is in Haiti. This is a church I got to go a couple of times. And I tell you, they do services every day. Of course, it's a difficult country, but they just show up every morning. I think about 2,000 people in the morning show up. In the evenings, 3,000 to 5,000 people every evening. Wow. So it was a great opportunity. Now, my better half.
Yeah, so this part is just our challenge, right? All of us. Mm-hmm. Not sure exactly numbers we've had for, you know, probably a couple of years, but so the population of the world is somewhere over 7 billion people on this earth. And there's, you know, 15%, that number could possibly be higher. It kind of depends on what statistic you're looking at. But people who have made the decision for Jesus, I have seen numbers that are higher than that. And, you know, let's hope and believe that, that they are. But regardless of where the numbers are, that's our challenge, though, is to continue to reach the world with the gospel. So that's why we do this. Like Pastor Antoine's been saying, you know, we go teach somewhere, and then those people are turning around and teaching in many different languages. So we'll go to the next one. So there are approximately 6,528 different languages on the earth.
Wow.
Now, the majority of the world, we do actually have the Bible because, you know, there are bigger language areas. We've got the entire Bible. There are a lot of other numbers, but sometimes numbers get a little bit boring. So the majority, we do have Bible, but there are still many, many languages. Mm-hmm. These are some of them big, some of them small. Mm-hmm. And again, those numbers, you can find different numbers different places, but there are people that don't have the Bible in their own mother tongue, like some Indian tribes, maybe in South America. Well, they can also speak some Spanish, but that's not their real language. Mm-hmm. So there are still people who continue to work to bring people the Bible because it is different. You know, Antoine's from Switzerland, and most of their formal communication is done in High German. But really, all the Swiss people speak Swiss German. Mm-hmm. And that's how they talk to one another, and that's how they communicate. So they like to talk to God in Swiss German. Mm-hmm. And it's not even a written language. Mm-hmm. It's just a spoken language, mm-hmm. so it's really just a dialect of German. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty different than the regular High German. So that's how it is for a lot of people. They may not have it in what their real conversational language is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God has ways of doing that. So you go in these places and you're teaching people who maybe, like Ethiopians, they might speak multiple languages, or other places in Africa. Mm-hmm. And they can help get people the word in their other languages. So that's always something to be praying for. Mm-hmm. You know, not only are there people teaching and training, but there are people who actually go and try to help people get their languages written out, mm-hmm. and get them the Bible in their language. And here's our strategy. And you've already heard this, but 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. So you go somewhere, you know, you teach and you equip people who are, maybe they have a business, but they minister to people. Mm. Maybe they're pastors and they have a church. Maybe they're just active in their neighborhood or their community and they want to be trained in the Word of God. You go and you teach those people, and then they go out and they share the gospel and they teach others and they train others up. So that's the strategy that we use to do what we're doing. Amen. Amen. And so here is one last picture. Is this in Ethiopia again?
Yeah.
So we have quite a few pictures of that. That's one of the first places that he started going regularly. And those people, you know, in Ethiopia, they're in an interesting place and position. They have refugees from different places. They also have some of the first forms of Christianity. But then they also have Muslims. So they really have a wide variety, and they've got people who can go all kinds of places. Mm. You know, go into Eritrea, which, are they still communist?
Yeah, or, you know, still not.
Still. And also Somalia is right there. There's just places that those people can go. Mm. I mean, we wouldn't be able to go. Yeah. We wouldn't know what we were doing, but they're so familiar with it all. So all of these people, you know, that we and you get to actually touch their lives, whether it's through teaching, praying, or giving, and affect the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's really the main gist of it. Is there anything else that you wanted me to talk about? Okay, well, why don't you then come? But so we just really thank you for connecting with us on this. And so before Antoine starts, I would just also like to just pray and come before the Lord on this with you together, and what we're doing together in this. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you give us as a body of Christ to share the gospel with others, to know that others can know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to know that we can become family through that connection. And so, Father, I pray right now for this congregation, Father, for the things that you have for them, the things that you're doing in them and through them, to be a blessing here to their families, to their community, to the church, also to the city, to the state, but also worldwide, Father, as we connect together and you allow us to go. And I thank you, Father, for just continuing to move in our hearts and give us a vision for what you want to do and what you want to do in and through us. And so we just thank you, Father, for these people. I ask your blessing upon them. And I thank you, Father, for connecting us together to do the work that you've called us to. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Good. And we also brought you a little gift. I don't know how you can divide it up, but it's real Colombian coffee. Usually, I go once a year, and they always bless us with coffee. Wow. So I'll just give it to you.
Amen. Yes, I will see to it that it is there. Yes.
So yeah. It's there.
It is very good because I was blessed with the bag last year.
Have I given you
one too?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, you don't get none.
Very good.
Yeah, no need. They're very gracious there, and we're scheduled again to go in October to Colombia. Mm-hmm. So great nation, it's wonderful what God is doing all around the world.
Yeah.
So
Well,
again, thank you, and Pastor Kathy also asked if I could share a word with you.
Yes,
definitely would like to do that. That's what we love to do. So before we start, why don't we pray?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Today is the day that you have made.
Yes. Mm.
Lord, we are rejoicing.
Yes,
Lord. We're glad in it. Thank you,
yes.
Lord, for a new day,
yes,
for new mercies that are new every morning.
Yes.
Father, thank you for this wonderful body of believers right here.
Yes.
Rivers, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that we are rivers. You use us. We're your vessels. And thank you, Father, for using every one of us to touch the world around us, whether it's across the ocean or maybe even just across the street. Lord, we are ambassadors. We're your ambassadors, and you want us to be well equipped through your word. And Father, we thank you right now for your word, that your word is like light, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
It will pierce through and it will speak to us this morning. And Father, we thank you that when we go home, that we will go home better than when we came.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Jeremiah 29.
Mm.
Jeremiah 29, certainly a familiar scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I want to talk to you about God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life. In fact, look at the person next to you and tell them God's plan for your life.
God's plan for your life.
That's right. God's plan for your life. So in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And those words still are true today. God has a good plan. He has good thoughts for every one of us.
Yes.
But it's also a matter of how to discover, okay, what does God have for my life? What kind of plan does He have? So that's what I would like to share with you, how you can walk and discover God's plan for your life. You know, it has been said that there are two important days in a person's life. First, the day they were born, and the second, the day we discover why.
Yeah.
It's important to discover why we're born, right? And what God has for us. So, you know, a lot of people struggle on how to discover God's plan for their lives. What does God have for me? What am I supposed to do with my life? I'm absolutely convinced, just like the Bible says, that God has a good plan for every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
He has good things in store, plans of peace, plans to give us a future and a hope. So that's what we're going to look at. And there are two major things we're going to look at this morning that will help you to walk in God's plan for your life and to discover it. The first one is, number one, it's God's basic plan for us, and it's the Word of God. God's basic plan for us. Number one, God's basic plan. And that's basically all the same for every one of us.
That's right.
It's God's Word. We need the foundation of God's Word. God's Word is His will, right? Somebody said that when you open the Bible, it's God speaking to you, right? It's God's words, and that's the foundation for our lives. So there are some really good scriptures that help us with that. Psalms 119, right? The longest chapter in the Bible, right? Psalms 119. My brothers and I, growing up when we were little, we always told our mom, "No, we don't want to read, you know, Psalms 119. It's too long. Let's read Psalms 117 because it only had two verses, right?" Oh yeah,
Let's read Psalms 117, right? But Psalms 119, verse 105, and somebody was praying that earlier, says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So the word of God gives us light.
Right.
And something about light, a fact about light, when light comes, darkness is expelled immediately, right? You know, when you turn on the lights, or as they say in the South, when you cut on the light, I still don't understand that. You cut on the light? You cut it on?
Okay.
I mean, you have to be really good if you can cut on the light. No, I'm just kidding. But, but anyway, when you turn on the light, darkness goes immediately, right? It could be a dark room, you turn on the light, and boom, it's gone. Just like when God spoke, "Let there be light." Light was there. And so that's what happens with God's word. I mean, it gives us light. It shows us the way. We can see. It can maybe clarify something. I mean, God's word is amazing. And it says it's a lamp to our feet. Just like just a little lamp. It's a lamp to our feet. We can see enough.
That's right.
It's a light to our path. So that path that God has, He gives us light.
Mm-hmm.
And He always gives us enough light to take the next step. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So that's good to know. It's assuring to know as well that we have light. You know, speaking of Ethiopia and some other similar countries, sometimes, you know, staying there and staying in my room and studying and getting ready for the next morning, sometimes the electricity just goes out, unannounced. That happens. It happens regularly, and you just have to be ready. And thank God, at the place where I stay with some of the other instructors, they have candles. And maybe you think, well, candles, big deal. Well, if nothing else, candles are going to be really, really nice to have. But you light a candle, and you can really, I can continue to read, I can continue to walk around, and then you go to the bathroom. So it's amazing. Light dispels darkness. And light always wins over darkness. Amen. It wins over confusion, or it brings clarity to our lives. Now, for another good scripture about the Word of God is, of course, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. You know, here's Joshua, the new leader of Israel. And Moses had just passed away. And here's, I don't know, about 2 million people or so, plus cattle and all their pets and what have you. Can you imagine? You know, all these people. And here's Joshua, the new leader. And in Joshua 1, God is kind of helping Joshua to get ready to lead the people of Israel from the desert, cross the Jordan River, into the promised land. Kind of that next big step. And Joshua 1 is a great chapter to kind of go over and encourage ourselves. But in verse 8 it says, "This book," and again this is God speaking to Joshua, "this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." What a great promise. And still true today. We should all take time and not let God's word depart from our mouths, right? We should speak what God says. Amen? A lot of times we repeat what we've heard. We repeat rumors, or we repeat things that have been said. But we should repeat and say what God says, right? So, again, the word says, don't let this book of the law, the book of the law represents God's word, right? Don't let it depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That means regularly. Obviously, we need to sleep too, but day and night means regularly. Take time in God's word. Meditate in it day and night. And in the Hebrew, meditate means to think about, to mutter it. Again, it has to do with saying it to yourself. Imagine it. Just take time. Reflect. You know, just... somebody said it this way. Just let it marinate. Right? Let it kind of...
soak in.
You soak in. That's a good word right there.
Like a steak.
Amen. So just, and I hope none of you are not too hungry yet. So stay here right now. But meditate in it day and night. And then, very important, it says that you may observe to do. The Bible says we shouldn't be only hearers, but also doers of God's word, and then we will be blessed, James says. Again, we're talking about God's basic plan for our lives, the foundation, and the foundation is God's word. Nobody can get away with that. You can't skip that. We
That's
need
right.
God's word.
That's right.
That's the basis for God's plan for our lives. Again, our words, we should meditate in it, we should do it. And then in that verse, you have the promise. Look at the last part of the verse. God said, for then, Joshua, then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Did you know that God wants you to have success? Right? He wants you to do well. He wants us to do well at our work, in our families, in our relationships. Whatever, the Bible says, whatever we put our hands
That's
to,
right.
this will prosper. Right? He wants us to do well, wherever we are in life. Amen?
That's right, amen.
Then you'll have good success. What a great promise. But again, it says, hey, Joshua, meditate on my word. Think about it. Study it. Speak it over your life. And do it. And do it as well.
Amen.
One more scripture about, you know, the word of God or the importance of God's word is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul the apostle writing to his spiritual son Timothy, which he, you know, he was literally under his wings and he coached him and helped him and trained him. 2 Timothy is also, I think, the last epistle that that Paul wrote before he passed away. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So Paul said, hey, Timothy, listen, every scripture, all the scriptures are, first of all, they're inspired by God. They came out of God's mouth, if you will. But they're profitable for teaching or doctrine, for reproof. I know we maybe don't always like reproof, but we all need some correction here and there, right? And sometimes it's small corrections that we need to make. You know, you can be maybe a little off the path, but if you make that small correction, you get right back in the middle of the path, and you're going the right way, you're going in the right direction. But some people just ignore God's word or God's leading to maybe make a change, and they keep going the wrong way, and they veer off and veer off and veer off, and at some point they're out in the ditch of life. It doesn't happen overnight usually. It's just a slow little process, a little off, and you're not, you know, ignoring the signs, and maybe somebody's praying for you. Somebody say, hey, you know, come on back. And people ignore it, choose to ignore it, and again, might end up in a ditch. We don't need to do that. Correction and, of course, instruction in righteousness. So the Word of God is really our manual for life.
That's right.
Like an owner's manual, like a car or something you buy, you get a little manual how to use it. The Bible, you know, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, also exactly basic instructions before leaving earth, right? These are the instructions that we need to live a good life, a life that is blessed, that God can bless. Amen?
Amen.
You see, when you, as you all know, I'm preaching to the choir, obviously, this morning, right? But God's word really covers every area of our lives. It shows us how to pray. It shows us what to do with our finances. It shows us how to treat our spouse, how to raise our children. Sowing, I mean, everything's in there about life, right? Relationships and what have you. It's all there. That's God's basic plan for our lives. It's the foundation. It's a must-have. You can't just kind of ignore that or skip that part. And maybe you're wondering, but what about the specifics for my life? Well, let's look at that. That's the second part, the other part of this message this morning about the details of our lives. Because let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered, ever try to find your name in the Bible. I still haven't found Antoine in it. I did all kinds of... I haven't found my name. Now, yes, God speaks us through His Word, but what about the specific plan that God has for every one of us? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, unless your name is maybe Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Oh, yeah, here's my name. Yeah. But still, that was a king at some point, and it doesn't help you much either. But here's the deal. You know, God has led me years ago to go to Rhema Bible College, and I met Chrissy there. I mean, I didn't know I was going to meet my future wife there, but it's a big blessing. I mean, even there, just God led me to go. But even after Rhema, we graduated. I went back to Switzerland, and then a year later, we got married, and Chrissy moved to Switzerland. Wow. And learned a language, and we got very involved in the church I grew up with while I was still in banking. I was a banker for a while, for 8 years, 7 years, whatever, about 8 years all in all. So I had a full-time job even after Bible college, but we were very engaged or involved in that church where I grew up and just started helping the pastor wherever we could. Mm-hmm. And a year into that, God began to deal with our hearts about maybe moving. Well, not maybe. Moving to Greenville, South Carolina.
Wow.
Greenville? Really? I mean, the only people that we knew and only knew a little bit was actually a pastor that's he's still there. Because he had come to our church to speak in Switzerland. So we kind of felt connected. We started praying about it. But somehow on the inside we felt like, you know, we heard Greenville and about maybe moving. But imagine, I had a nice job. Also at that point, this is now 21 years ago, my dad at that point was not a believer, but he was a successful banker. And he, you know, he had all the connections for me to really have a good banking career and also maybe pay for my MBA. All those kind of, everything in the natural set in place for a banking career. In a sense, but God began to deal with us about moving to Greenville, South Carolina. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. You're laughing now. That wasn't that funny to us then. No, that's fine. It's good that you laugh. That's good. Greenville, right. Huh? Well, yes, and laughing is good. The Bible even says that, right?
Like it's a very popular city in a huge metropolis.
Exactly. So,
we're laughing.
But I will get back to that story in just a moment, because again, how did we know? That's a big step. Mm-hmm. Leave banking and step out in faith and. Mm-hmm. Well, number two, God's specific plan for you, and that's really the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is our guide, and we see that in several scriptures. In John 16, for example, in John 16, and you know, Jesus talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. Oh. And John 16 is literally within 24 hours of his crucifixion. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is right after the Last Supper. He's still having these last few hours with his closest friends and disciples. And one of the things he talked about a lot was the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, it says, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come."
Amen.
Wow. So the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll guide us in every area of our lives, certainly. But Jesus said, you know what? The Holy Spirit will come. He will guide you. He will hear, and he will tell you. And look at the last part. He will tell you things to come. So he will tell you future things or just, you know, help you with that next step. Again, for your life, specifics, details, right? Again, we have God's Word as our foundation that we live by. So God can bless us in different ways. But then the Holy Spirit becomes our guide, our personal guide, if you will. Mm. You know, the word guide in the Greek also means to show the way. Okay, to show the way. It also means to lead. I mean, it's very, very clear what that means, right? To show the way. So the Holy Spirit will show us the way. So really, the Holy Spirit becomes your personal guide.
That's right.
Your personal guide. Once again, you know, I grew up, I was born and raised in Switzerland. I skied all my life. My dad would take us up the mountains every Sunday, you know, before he kind of left my mom. But, you know, we would go skiing whenever we could. And there's some wonderful, really nice looking mountains there. And we skied just about anything, just whatever. It was fun.
As long as you could slide, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's always a way to get down, right? Some people get down on their belly, right? But, you know, in the summer, a lot of people from a lot around the world come to Switzerland and other places like that to climb mountains. Mm. There's something about it. People really like to climb a big mountain. Mm. And you can go up in these little mountain villages, mountain towns. And you know, there's not a lot of people that live up there. But if you want to climb a mountain, here's a very good suggestion. Mm. You might want to hire a mountain guide.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good thing, because every year people die in the mountains. Mm. Yeah, just travel up there and, oh yeah, I'm going to hike up the mountain. And they put on their little tennis shoes and their little backpack. They think. And sometimes it works out. But you know, it's better to have a mountain guide and the right kind of gear and the right kind of things to wear. The thing about mountains, the weather can change within 30 minutes. It can be a beautiful day, and before you know it, it's all fog and snow, and you don't know where you are.
Wow.
A mountain guide also knows the way. They've been up there. And by the way, it's one thing to get up a mountain. It's another thing to come back down. That's one of my uncles. He's climbed just about anything. He says, too, going down is almost harder than going up. It doesn't quite make sense, but yeah. But it can be hard. Yeah. So it's good to have a mountain guide. And again, those mountain guides are available. You have to hire it. You don't have to, but they're there. I mean, it might cost a little money, but it's well highly recommended.
Again,
huh?
Saves your life.
Absolutely. Again, every year people die. They might freeze to death, or they might slip and fall, or they don't know the way back. It happens every year, the same thing. Now, the mountain guide knows the way, also knows maybe when to take breaks, also knows different ways to get up or different ways to get down. The mountain guide also knows when not to go. Sometimes you just don't go. It's not a good time. And the Holy Spirit, in the same way, he's our guide for our lives. He might say, stop, wait. Or he might say, okay, now it's time for this, you know, this phase of your life, or maybe for this job or this opportunity, whatever God has for your life. Again, he will show it to you. He will. Have you been showing scriptures?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I was standing in front of the.
No, I just woke it up to make sure it's ready when
okay.
You want that.
Gotcha. I didn't want to cover something.
Yeah, be good.
Amen. So imagine you have a guide for life. Right? He's always with us. Also in Romans 8:14, Paul to the Roman believers, he said, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons, and also say daughters of God, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So Paul talks about being led by the Holy Spirit as well, right? We can be led by the Spirit of God. You see, as you know, there are many voices out there, right? You know, TV and internet and your phone and the radio and people, someone, you know, maybe the neighbor screaming. There's lots of voices all the time. Also in our case, in some countries when you land and you're in a new airport and you go through passport control and get your luggage and you just get out, and that first time you leave, as you leave the airport, a lot of those countries, for example, India or Ethiopia, there's hundreds of people outside of the airport, and some of us say, taxi, taxi, come to me, use me. I don't know you. You know, it's always a little awkward moment stepping out because all these people, some of them holding signs for hotels. I mean, there's all these voices and some of them are just fine. But
some of them,
like in Peru, they tell me, they've told me, hey, don't just go with any taxi. Some of them are bad guys. They, yes, they look like a taxi and then they rob you, you know, a few miles down the road.
Wow.
So I still prefer, and usually that's the case anyway, when someone meets me at the airport, that's part of the ministry, and that's in most cases. It's always a good feeling to see that person. Oh, here you are. You give him a good hug. I love you. I really do. Yes. But that's always comforting. You know, you get there, you're tired, and there's a taxi, taxi, all these voices. Come with me, come with me. No, you just got to go your way. Yeah, so,
amen.
Yeah. Again, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus said a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we need to recognize it doesn't say as many as are led by their feelings. Feelings go up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know some yo-yo Christians, right? Up and down, up and down. Up and down. We're also not led by just opportunities, right? Some opportunities just don't turn out that well. Really make sure. Is it really God? Yeah, God might give you a good opportunity. Absolutely, but let's make sure. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't say by prophecy or dreams and visions, but here's the thing. God uses these things too.
Yes.
Absolutely. And a lot of times he uses maybe a prophecy or a word of knowledge to confirm something that you might already know. Absolutely. And thank God for prophecies. But again, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Let's put it this way. That's the main way how God's going to lead us.
That's right.
By his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Again, so how does this work, right? We're still trying to discover God's plan for our lives. How do we do that? How do we do that?
Mm.
Well, if you go down to two more verses, Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. So the Holy Spirit, once we become born again, the Holy Spirit bears witness. He gives us a witness on the inside. You are a child of God. You are His, right? So there's a spirit connection, if you will. I remember I was only 12 years old when my mother put my brothers and I into a summer camp. My brothers are a little younger than me, so it was just three of us. We were rowdy boys. We always caused trouble. This was before we were, you know, born again. And, you know, even after being born again, we still got ourselves into trouble. But when I was 12, she put us in a summer camp for 2 weeks. My dad had left us. You know, it was summer vacation. She thought, I got to put these boys somewhere because even during school, they're getting themselves in trouble. So she put us in this camp, but we didn't really know what was awaiting us or what kind of camp that was. But every evening, they would have a fire outside. It was about 30 or 40 kids and some leaders, and they would sing songs with their guitars. Hey, this was new. Wow. Fire, dark, songs about God and Jesus. Never heard anything like that. And then one night, there was a boy my age, and one of the leaders said, okay, now, you pray now. And he started praying. I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool how he can pray. literally. I mean, he was praying and praying. I'm like, wow, I've never done this before. Two nights later, again, worship and singing, and you know, some of the guys had a little ukulele. We're just watching this whole thing. You know? My brothers and I, still, we're not saved yet. We're just watching this whole thing. And one of the leaders said, okay, tonight is your night. If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you never accepted Him as your Savior, tonight there's a simple prayer and you become a child of God. Wow, we had never heard anything like that before, right? And so they said, okay, everyone close your eyes. Now, you know what happens when kids are told, close your eyes. You still kind of look around. I was looking because now, okay, it's dark, the fire, close your eyes. I mean, it's my brothers and I, you know, the three amigos. We want to make sure what's going on here. And I just remember that night, even though I was only 12 years old, you know, here was that prayer. He said, okay, tonight, if you want to receive Jesus, raise your hand. And I remember I was about to raise my hand. I looked at my brothers and we all went, uh-huh. And the three of us raised our hands. And we repeated the prayer and received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Why am I saying this? Well, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Look, I was 12 years old. I really didn't know anything about the Bible then. Still learning a lot every day, all of us. But I've known since that night that I am a child of God. I have a witness, right? The Holy Spirit bears witness. Not only did I have that, I also had peace. See, the spirit of peace. You have peace on the inside. You have a witness. Now, our minds might tell us all kinds of things and what is this all about? I don't understand. Well, but in my heart, ever since that evening, I've known I am a child of God. Amen. I am. Amen. We are. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit bears witness. And again, this is crucial because the Holy Spirit is our guide. He leads us from the inside. He's right there. He gives us a witness. Right. We have maybe peace about a situation. And that's how we were led to come to move to South Carolina. I mean, after a lot of prayers and talking to our pastors in Switzerland, eventually, I mean, we just knew on the inside that that's what we're supposed to do. Now, in our minds, it's like, what are you going to do there? What kind of job are you going to have? How are you going to, you know, have money and pay the bills? And, oh, yeah, there were lots of questions. But we knew this was our next step. Now, of course, that was a big step. I mean, you don't do that every week like that. But that was a big step, my goodness. A couple more scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. God's Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the one that will show us things to come, the one that will guide us into all truth. The one that Paul said that you are led by the Spirit. He lives on the inside of us. It's amazing, isn't it? In fact, look at the person next to you and say, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. The Bible says that God never leaves us nor forsakes us, right?
That's right.
So literally, the Holy Spirit, a part of God, is in us wherever we go, wherever we are. That's really our guide, our inside guide. I mean, He's always with us. It's a little bit like Wi-Fi, right? Don't you all like Wi-Fi, right? You can check your phone or your device and go on the internet wherever you are. I mean, which that is definitely a little bit of a blessing, even traveling more and more places, even in countries that are not as blessed as this one yet. You'll find maybe a place where you can get on the internet, on a Wi-Fi thing. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit really allows you to have direct connection with heaven. It's like your Wi-Fi with heaven. I mean, you always have a connection with heaven all the time.
Amen.
You're always connected to heaven.
Glory to God.
Right? You're part of heaven, part of the Godhead on the inside of you.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing? Always connected. So we need to realize that really we're primarily led from the inside. Yet so many times we look on the outside. We're looking for this or we're looking for that. I remember one of our instructors at Bible college, he said this. So many times we look for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. Right? We're looking for that. Boom! But yet you have the supernatural right on the inside. Right? And so goes on. That story, May of 1997, we had told our pastors, that we were, you know, they sent us out from Zurich, Switzerland to move to Greenville, South Carolina. And, you know, that was, for me, was an adjustment. I mean, it was, first I had also a hard time just understanding Southern. That was new.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I remember going to a Wendy's drive-thru for the first time. I could not understand a word. Mm-hmm. Bad speaker, and then you add in the whole, just the Southern, and the, I mean, I have no problem understanding it now, but it was hard. I mean, what is she saying? I parked the
car.
No, I was by myself at that time. So I parked the car and went inside. That's, you know, I mean, yeah, when you're hungry, you're going to.
I can at least point.
Yeah, it's true. You can at least point this. But, you know, for years, my wife will testify that I would avoid drive-thrus. I don't know what to say. Yeah. But anyway, so this was a whole new world. I mean, mm-hmm. We left banking, and we went to... Our main reason why we went to Greenville was to help in a church. Mm. And we did. We started helping in that church. But there was no position or salary or no guarantees. Mm. So we packed our things. I mean, basically, we gave just about everything we had. After almost 2 years of being married, we gave everything away. All our furniture, our beds. We just, we told the church and told two churches, I mean, it took just hours, and woof, they came by, and everything was gone. That's amazing.
When you give it away. And,
yes, when you give it away, yeah. I was like, and we were on the fourth floor in a small apartment, which my grandmother used to live there before, but a small little apartment, not a very nice area of Zurich. But anyway, we had a little world, and you know, every time we look out the window, there goes the couch. My couch, my bookshelf. But we still, we packed up about 20, 21 boxes, I think it was, you know, our books, tapes from Bible college, China, you know, clothes, 20 boxes, nothing in comparison to actually moving like a truck or something, because it costs a lot of money to just ship everything. Gave everything away. We could have sold it, but we just thought, let's give it away. Before we left, an older lady gave us this envelope and had literally several thousand dollars in it. And she said, you can use that for your new furniture in America. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, God, I mean, we weren't saying, hey, we need money, or do that, please. No, it just gave us that. And sure enough, in Greenville, they just opened the rooms to go. I mean, literally within, right there. We went there, and I used to call it homes to go. I got it mixed up. No, it's only rooms. It's only rooms. And we went in there. I mean, oh, new bed, every pay cash, because God provided for it. Wow. Praise the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then, before we even left, my uncle, he's still not a believer. He's a smart man, very smart, now retired. He said, I heard, Antoine, you're about to move to the U.S., and do you have anything to ship? And I said, yeah, we have 21 boxes. You know, well, let me see, because he used to work at the airport. It was way up there in the airport of Zurich. Let me see what I can do. And so he called back and said, 21 boxes is about, I think it was $1,500 to ship over. I'd like to pay that.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay. Faithfulness.
Yeah. Yeah. We also, we gave a car away, and again, buy a car when you're here. But anyway, God really provided for us, and then we moved over. We came, we kind of got adjusted, and of course, this is a whole new world. It's like, okay, well, now we're going to help in the church, and we started helping with all kinds of things. Our first thing that we did was actually rearranging or reorganizing a big storage room. It was a mess. Just every church has a storage room somewhere. Have you seen it? I've had some churches.
Yeah.
It was a mess. And so my wife and I, we spent a couple of days just taking everything out. That was our first helping in the church. Welcome to the ministry, right? Yeah, we did whatever we...
That's
helping.
Right.
But during that time, it's like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? And... So I did a little bit of construction work, never done it before, sweeping stuff. Chrissy worked at an office a little bit, and I also became the church secretary at one point. And then I ended up at JCPenney at the Haywood Mall there in Greenville. Wow. So that was ironic. At the men's department, selling suits. Never done this before. Didn't like it really. Did a lot of praying in there. Because it was so boring. There's so few customers coming through. And the other people that were working, this is 20 years ago. The other two gentlemen, they were really old. I'm the young guy. They didn't like me. And I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just here to make my $5.50 an hour. Come on. That's all I'm doing here. One of them was especially grumpy. Said, "You were too early to go to your break." I said, "I'm sorry that I went to break a little too early, but it's okay." Just adjusting. Yes. But for a year I worked at JCPenney. It's so funny. I selling suits. I was wearing suits at the bank in Switzerland. Oh Lord, help me now, right? But it was a good experience, and God provided. Even with what we were getting, God provided always extra. And really, where God guides, He provides.
Right? Amen. 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 He climbed a bit of mountains.
Yes. Yeah, you climbed them. And
in Greenville. Yeah. Little
mountains. Yes. Yeah. And speaking of mountains, we, in that sense, in life, we climb mountains and you get up there. Mm-hmm. Ooh, beautiful. But then you go back down. Mm-hmm. Back down to the valley. Yeah. I don't know, was it Winston Churchill who said that, mountains inspire us, but valleys mature us? Mm. Oh, yeah, it's true. You don't always stay on top of the mountain. It's just a short, wow, look at, it's beautiful. Oh, we got to go back down. Going back down to the valley, right? But anyway, but God is faithful. So that's how He led us to come to South Carolina. We've lived here now 20 years. Minus about one, when right in the middle of that, we also served at a church in Germany for almost a year. So, but we've been back for about 12 now. And that's a little bit of a little example of how God can lead us. And it was 19 months after we moved to Greenville, South Carolina, that it was literally a week after our first daughter was born. She's now 19 years old. Mm-hmm. January of 1999, I get a call a week after our first daughter was born from the pastor of the church. He said, "Antoine," and I was literally sweeping out an apartment building, helping my father-in-law with some jobs. He said, "Antoine, the church has been growing. We're about to maybe go to two services. We need a full-time assistant pastor, and we also pay for insurance. Are you interested?" Yeah. Amen. Got on staff full-time. Wow. Wasn't this big salary, but it was more than JCPenney and Chrissy's secretary salary combined. So, wow, God provided.
Right.
We have our first baby. We always had on our hearts when we have children. Want the mom to be home. Wow, God provided. I could go to work at church and she could stay home with our, now we have three beautiful daughters, and the oldest just started USC this fall.
Wow. So, good choice.
God is good. Good choice. We're in USC country here most of the time.
For the most part.
For the most part, right. But in Christ we're one.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. That's
anyway, so
we thank
as,
God for greatness.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. See you. Good to see you. I'm coming to a close anyway here, but I think this story helped you a little bit to see. And sometimes I look back, it's like, wow, my goodness, how did we do that? But really, only by the grace of God. God's just been very, very faithful. So, two more scriptures. Genesis 39, verse 21. Just saw that yesterday. It's about Joseph. Remember, his brothers sold him into slavery.
Oh, yes.
My goodness, what an inspiring story of someone just staying with God. And even though being then put in prison by Potiphar, he still had favor in prison. Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You see, God's favor is not limited by our circumstances. Amen. So Joseph, even in prison, had favor with God. Right. I want to encourage you. God has gives you favor wherever you are.
That's right.
And then really the last scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, familiar as well, right? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen?
Amen.
He will direct your paths.
Amen.
See, we all have to completely trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Not lean on our own understanding. Yes, we should use our understanding. God gave us a mind and an intellect. Absolutely, but that's limited. We should trust the Lord and trust the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And again, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. God is faithful. He will direct you. So again, that's in a nutshell how we can follow God's plan for our lives. First, God's Word. That's the foundation. We need to live by God's Word. He has certain principles in place that if we live by them, we will be blessed.
That's right.
There's just certain things will not happen if we don't live by them. Right? And then the second one, for the specifics, for the details, for every one of us, there's the Holy Spirit, your personal guide through life. He will guide you step by step. The right people at the right time. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this opportunity to share for this wonderful body of believers here at Rivers. And Lord, thank you that you spoke to every one of us through your word. Yes. Father, right now I ask you to seal that word in our hearts. Yes. May we follow your instructions because you mean well. You want us to do well. You love us because we are your children. And thank you, Lord, that we learn to become more and more sensitive of the Holy Spirit, that we'll just know on the inside what to do next. Be led by peace, not by pressure. Led by peace, Lord. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. He leads and guides us. He will show us things to come. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
That's all I have, and hope this ministered to you. Amen.
Amen.